listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, apple cider, Hamish.
Fizz, fizz.
Ahoy to me, rice, Jack.
We are vinegar.
We are types of vinegar.
Well done, Jacko.
Yes.
I just thought we were not a particularly delicious, but a passable meal.
Apple cider and rice.
Everyone eat your apple cider and rice.
Well, I am, of course, balsamic.
Yeah, that's the giveaway.
Hence, rounding out the different vinegars we are today. Obviously, crushed fermented apples, yeast, and sugar for Haim. I don't think I need to go through it all.
They need the ingredients for everything else. But again, a tip of the hat to Mike. We know he spends the best part of a week on that, connecting those three things.
Can I give you a cool vinegar fact? Keep it or delete it. Cut it out if you don't think it's cool. All vinegar has alcohol in it, trace amounts of alcohol in it, but it's so small that our blood can't absorb it.
So you couldn't get drunk off it.
So it's so small we can't absorb it. We just absorb it, but it's so negligible you'd never feel.
No, we can't absorb it.
It's so the molecule's so small.
Oh, I don't know on a molecular level, but
if we had 25 liters of the stuff,
you can't get drunk. You still that's kind of, my understanding.
But is it because it's such a small amount of alcohol, or we
the way you keep saying is it's like it's so small your body can't absorb it? Like we have a mesh and it's like it won't fit.
The opposite of that. But yeah,
it's the opposite of that. Yeah, it's a mesh and we can't get into it.
Yes. I wish I didn't say it now because I actually don't know the details. But I'm sure someone will write in and correct it.
Yeah. No, they won't. I'm deleting that.
Oh, so has it been deleted? Like people hearing this now know it's been deleted.
No, keep it, but don't write it. Just know that there'll be no further investigation.
Ahoy also to Annika.
Just trying to make we're trying to make Darcy's life easier. He has to do the edits on the show if there are any, and he's got enough stuff to do.
We know that Darcy takes liberties anyway, so we'll find out whether that's in when we listen back. Ahoy also to Annika from Park City in Utah. I use the very easy to use system at hamishnandy.com. Uploading her audio to tell us what she's up to.
Ahoy, Hamish and Andy and Jack Post Malone. I'm currently skiing down a slope in Park City, Utah. You might be thinking, must be nice, but don't worry. I'm still on that student budget, common man life. I paid $13 for an eSIM that I assume will be sucked up from trying to upload this audio file. Anyway, bye, boys. Thanks for the good listen down the slope.
Mid-ski. I was going to say, hey, that's the most, that's what a great little transportation we all got there to be mid-ski run. Shades of a post in that, like, you could tell she has a lot of respect for you, Jack, because she's called you Jack Post Malone, so she's a fan. Mm. And you just feel that by saying $13, yet she may be hoping that we'd be like, oh, mate, let us get that for you. Just a little bit of a Jack move.
Big fan of Jack. Hey, speaking of dollars, last week we put the call out for what you described as a coin nerd, but I think we mean a coin expert to join us in the show, as we thought we are the number one podcast keeping coins relevant.
Yep.
If anyone sees us out there in the flesh, they're welcome to ask us for a dollar. If we don't have a dollar on us, we take a bow. And I had reached out to the Royal Australian Mint to see whether it's possible that they could make up a commemorative coin or a new coin for circulation in honour of our love for the dollar coins.
I thought that was a slightly optimistic goal, and it still is, but I thought it was kind of madness when you brought it up. But then the more you educated us, the more we got to know about commemorative coins and the process behind them, the more we thought maybe this is still going to require diligence and, by your estimates, 2 years of it, but maybe it's possible. But we thought maybe we need a coinologist, expert, a money expert who knows about the way the wheels turn at the mint.
We've got one. His name's Joel Kandai. He does a lot of TikToks called The History of Money. He's very into this stuff, and he joins us now. Joel, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Joel, mate. Thank you for taking the time. This is huge. I mean, you know the scope of what we're hoping to achieve. Mm. Straight off the bat, is it madness or are we in with a shot?
It is feasible. It is feasible. Wow. Given that we've had coins about the Wallabies, who are probably the worst sporting team we've seen in 20 years. We have, you know, the Wiggles on them. We've got Possum Magic. I mean, well, why can't we have...
Wiggles have won even less World Cups, to be honest.
So, Joel, I was told by the Trudy at the Australian Mint that you can't have someone who's alive, their face depicted. Not that we want that anyway, but... Do you think that's consistent with what you're seeing across all the commemorative coins?
No. I think the recent one, the Wiggles, the Wiggles released a set of $2 coins and $1 coins, and the both $1 coins had all 8 Wiggles on there from the past and the present in there.
Wow.
And I was like, that is very contradictory to what Admin have told you guys in there.
I rose that with her, though, and she said they're characters, not people.
Okay, fair enough.
That is a big call. That said, in 1994, the Royal Australian Mint released a set of coins of Aussie living legends, and Dawn Fraser and Shirley Strickland won the coins, and they were living at the time.
Yeah, see, I'd be interested to hear the argument there. Yeah, I mean, they're just making up their own rules and breaking them as they go along. But we said they were living.
Considering the promotion was Aussie living legend, it's difficult.
You've put Ned Kelly, you know, okay, we can't have him on. Okay, so it seems like there's a little, we don't even need our faces though. That's the other thing. What are the chances of, because it's more of a show. It's more like the Hamish Andy show. So even if it's like three silhouettes, we liked the idea. And again, I'm not locking this in as the art, but even if it's, you know, user generated art, for example, two silhouettes of a bow and a weasel, people know what that means. Mm. It might not be as iconic as the Wiggles, but it means something to our listeners.
Potentially. But it's one thing that you're missing out. There is another mint in Australia that you've completely neglected.
No.
The Perth Mint, yes.
Why is the Perth Mint different than the Australian Mint?
So the Perth Mint specialise in making bullion coins so for investors, and they release their own commemorative coins, and they're also legal tender. You might face the same hurdles as what the other mint or Royal Australian Mint do.
pause.
We can play the mints off against each other? Yes. If one of you could do it for 90 cents, we'd be interested.
In Perth, in Western Australia.
Yes.
That are allowed to just put their own coins out.
Exactly. They've got to go through the same process, so they need to get minister approval every new release. But there's also another way, which very, very likely you can get your own $1 coin. But it's a little bit of a stretch, if you let me explain the story here.
Okay.
So Perth Mint also make coins for a country called Tuvalu, right?
Okay. Yep.
Out in the Middle Pacific. The Tuvalu dollar is pegged to the Australian dollar 1-to-1. Hmm. The Perth Mint pay a fee to the Tuvalu government and allow them to make whatever coins they want every year. So they make Spider-Man coins, James Bond coins. They just
Hang on, for Tuvalu.
Yeah, Tuvalu. Yeah, but it will still have the Queen on it. Because all King Charles, depending when they change the effigy. So there'll still be a royal figure on the head side of the coin, and you can have your design on the back. If you get into the right people at the Perth Mint, I'm sure they could oblige with that.
Can I just ask a question here, Joel? You say the Perth Mint pays the Tuvalese government like a fee. Hey, can we make your coins?
Pretty much.
What's in it for them?
They get a fee. That's it. So they get, I don't know what exact amount it is they get paid, but they get paid a fee, and that contributes to the running of the Tuvalu government. It's a very small country. It's a good amount of money that they make, and they happily, and the Perth Mint obliges every year making it.
No, I know, but the Perth Mint, in my mind, the Perth Mint's there, like making the coins and then paying someone to go, can we give you these coins?
No, they don't give it to them. They actually sell them to collectors straight away. So the Perth Mint makes a lot more money than the fee they actually paid to the government.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's legal Tuvalese currency with Spider-Man on it, but you're, as a collector, you might be paying like $20 to get that coin.
Pretty much, exactly, that's it. And the Tuvalese dollar is legal tender to the Australian dollar. So it's dollar for dollar, it's pegged to the currency. So you can use Australian dollars in Tuvalu, so it's by an extension, it is still an Australian dollar.
So we could, if we run out of luck with the Royal Australian Mint and Perth Mint aren't interested, we could contact our pals in Tuvalu and try and get a coin released there.
You think you were confused by Spider-Man? When do you see this coin? Hey, Joe, I've got a quick... Okay, our other option at the moment is Jim Chalmers is the treasurer.
Yes. Have you met him? You're into coins?
Well, actually, it's so he's a treasurer, but he gets an assistant treasurer to sign off on those coins.
Well, do you know, can I just... This is the bombshell I'd like to give Andy. Mm. I found out the name of the assistant treasurer, right? The assistant minister for treasury, okay, is Dr. Andrew Lee.
Did
you know this?
The CEO of the Royal Australian is Lee Gordon, so it's Lee and Lee.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
but here's what I'm thinking.
So I could pretend I got some mail or something.
Well, yeah, because the assistant minister for treasury, who seems to be kind of maybe handle more of the currency stuff, if we, our initial plan, Joel, was to stop Jim Chalmers in the car park one, like 4:59 on a Friday and go,
can you
listen,
sign this off?
We don't want to bother you, but just sign this. Can we have our own coin? What if we could get someone to him that goes, Andy Lee is cool with this? And he will think...
Say Andrew Lee.
Andrew Lee. He'll think it's his Andrew Lee, the honourable one.
Mm. Not rather than the dishonourable one.
What he doesn't know won't hurt him. So if he goes, and Andrew Lee signed off on this, 100%. In fact, he loves the idea. He had the idea.
This is a great idea. So what we need, Ham, is still a car park.
Yep.
But we need someone to go, hey, can you sign off on this? Andrew Lee has signed off on this.
Andrew Lee fully backs this and will resign if this doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, great. That'll
then
work.
we've got Tuvalu in our back pocket.
Mm, yeah.
To go through Tuvalu. But then we'll need we'll need a Perth Mint hookup.
Joel,
I believe there's competing mints.
Because you know all the coins, what do you as far as dollar coins go, who do you think deserved one the least?
What about, was there one at the time that just didn't grab the public's attention?
Is there one that,
2011, there was a coin to commemorate Catherine and Will's wedding. And obviously they allowed living people, as in royal families, to have a coin. And the coin itself has probably been derided the most by the numismatic community.
But so Caden, well, that's still a big...
I remember this. Wasn't it a big deal because it didn't look anything like them?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Just it looked nothing like them. It was just this... weird outline, lack of detail, like some scary ghost kind of picture.
It's still a big event though, Joel. I'm wondering, is there like some kind of, you know...
Because we know we'll be the least famous, like the most underwhelming to a non-listener of this show. There will be the biggest head-scratcher of a coin. We get that.
30 years still... since the car boot sale was invented or something, you know, like is there...
One of the worst ones I've seen is the 100 years of the tax office.
Yeah, that's
joking.
That's
you're absolutely joking. That's an inside job. That is absolutely someone getting Jim at 4:59.
Who is celebrating?
And it takes 30% off it at the end of it.
Mate, that's, the tax office got one.
Yeah.
I think that reeks of nepotism. I think probably now that's the argument you make to Jim. Listen, win the people back on side. Give the people's podcast one. No one was cheering for the tax office coin.
Joel, this has been so informative. Thank you so much for the Tuvalu leads.
That's a great lead. That goes on the flow chart for sure, doesn't it? You know, did we get Jim? Yes. Was he angry? Yes. Oh, if so, go to this. Tuvalu's dollar.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it, mate.
Thank you, mate. See ya.
Well, bit to work through.
But Andy. What I love is at the start of this, you gave it a 2-year horizon. Yeah. So I think just take a couple of months off.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to.
Dude, 2 years? Yeah. Mate, I feel like we're probably at October by now. Like the amount of work we've done for our normal level of work.
I just worry.
We find ourselves with contacts and options.
Yes.
A position we never find ourselves in. So at least
2 months?
Kick the feet up.
Hey, at the start of the year, we like to catch up on what we've all been up to with a small game of the Salacious Headlines game.
We do like this game.
For people who don't know this game, essentially, it seems illegal now to report anything properly. You have to search for...
Scandal.
Yeah, if you're in the media, you have to search for a headline that makes it look like much more of a scandal than the actual story.
We're essentially... People that work for the Daily Mail would be listening to this going, guys, you're meant to be having fun on your podcast. Don't do what we do for a job as your pastime. You could do anything.
So essentially we've asked each other to come to the show today with something that we thought was great over the break.
And almost unspinnable.
Unspinnable.
You know what I mean? Like almost like as innocuous as possible.
Yep.
Like just the gentlest piece of news.
And then we'll try to turn it into a...
the rest of the group's job, yes, is to click, give it the clickbait treatment.
Okay. Let's jump into it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's perfect. No, it's not.
Wait a second. There is something wrong with that. Salacious headline.
Haim, give us your news first.
Okay. What can you do with this? We got two kittens called Potato and Jimothy. That's it.
Okay.
Salacious headline. Salacious headline. In 3, 2, 1.
Do you want me to go, Jack?
Yeah, you go.
Blake family continue their hatred for dogs.
Good.
It was either that, oh, I don't want to maybe set.
All right, this is mine. Two inhabitants of Hamish Blake's house are revealed not to be his children.
That's good as well.
That's really good. And always naked and made to poo in a box.
I thought.
And eat off the floor.
I thought also Blake family caught buying exotic animals.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I also thought, not that I want to help you future games, but a possible flank I had open was, you know, another impulse buy purchase made hastily. I mean, you could really go anywhere, but I love what you've done. Well done.
Jacko, do you want to go next?
All right. My good news was my son, Gordy, his favourite animal is a cow. Mm. So for his second birthday, everyone was invited to dress as a cow and we had a moo party.
Okay.
Moo party. Here we go.
Salacious headline. Salacious headline. In 3, 2, 1.
Notorious weasel Jack Post shuns much-loved Aussie icon Bluey and saves money by using generic license-free animal for birthday party.
I like it. Mine was simpler. Jack Post and his wife Bianca caught treating child like farm animal.
Well, we're all, to be fair, we're all treated like farm animals.
That's true.
Well, to be fair, it's not a phrase we use in this game. That's the opposite of the game. Good. All right. What have you got for us?
Well, Beck and I, over the break, we realised that last Christmas was our 10th one together.
Congratulations.
The most recent Christmas with our 10th one together.
Congrats, Hando.
Okay.
Salacious headline. Salacious headline. In 3, 2, 1.
I doing the maths on this, I realise if that's your 10th anniversary together, it's also another anniversary. So that's why I've chosen to, because they're journalists that do this stuff, so they can deduce stuff by facts, right? Andy and Beck celebrate 2-year co-vaping anniversary as the Weaver surprises his lover with Plumpud-scented vape bomb. Taking a slight liberty.
That's a lot of
liberty. It was 8 years before vapes came on the scene, and so now I've just done the maths.
I would be interested to see the accompanying photograph that they used for
It would be the photo you posted of the vape on the table.
All right. Jacko?
This is the headline I have for 10 Christmases together. Couple Andy Lee and Beck Harding admit to 10 encounters with bearded old man.
Admit.
You admit the fact.
We got it out of him. gents, in the old, is this what we stand for in 2024? Canopy, one of the things we decided we definitely do still stand for is chocolate investigations, purely because no one else has got the guts to do it, I think.
I totally agree. I don't want to hijack it. I've got one quick one.
Please do. I'm literally in the middle of saying we're the place for it.
Yes. We're not going to get every individual company on for a please explain when there's a certain aspect of a chocolate bar left out. We kind of gather that it happens across the board. We had the kit without the cat.
Yeah.
Love hearing about them. This came in from Anouk. He was working through a Ferrero share.
Small job. hope he hadn't put too long aside for it.
Good news,
guys. I'm through the crushed hazelnuts. Going through the way for now. I'll let you know when I hit the main hazelnut.
Well, that was the thing.
What happened?
No main hazelnut.
So on one hand, you're going to work through it a lot faster because you've taken out the main piece of friction from the center.
But
do you know what was in there? Air or just Nutella? Air.
Now, they're light to begin with, aren't they? So I can't
hazelnut
blame him.
Is very light.
Can't blame him for picking up the whole Ferrero Rocher and not going, hang on a minute.
Yep. They're also, it's a roasted hazelnut, which is lighter than a raw one.
The other thing that happened, so anyway, we're just saying that happens. You can leave out something. We're not going to get please explain from the Ferrero.
I would be interested to know if it was from a box or one of the pyramid assortments. God, who are we talking to over the? I think it was my brother-in-law. Just while we're on Ferrero Rocher, sorry, this just popped into my head. Sorry, what I was going to say was like, was it from a box and they were all missing the hazelnut, or was it just an odd one out, or did he treat himself to a single Ferrero from the?
You can buy.
Can
a
you buy a
can
lone
buy a
Ferrero?
Single?
Maybe not above board. Maybe I feel like I've seen them for 50 cents each, but that might be a shop that's getting a 24-pack and
They're splitting them out, which they're told specifically not to do on the packaging.
It would say on the back.
Yeah.
I'll find for you guys next week because it just popped back into my head. But it's my brother-in-law, friend of ours, Ando, friend of all of ours, Andy. Is his name. He is English, lives out here. But we had Rochers over the Christmas, over the mandated break during which Christmas
fell. Have they ever gone with Cher or Rocher?
Well, that's
they
good.
Might have. But he reminded me.
I've never even really heard someone just call it a Rocher.
Well, we know who makes them.
But you do always,
Rocher, is it? No, Ferrero.
That's true, actually. I've never realised that. So is Ferrero the maker? So is it
Ferrero's the company. Ferrero make Raffaello. They make Rocher. I think
so
they
Volkswagen
they
and Tiguan's the Rocher.
Yeah.
Or does everyone make is Rocher, can anyone make a Rocher?
I don't think, I think Rocher would be patented waferball crushed hazelnuts chocolate. Roasted hazelnut. That's why it's Nutella in them. That's why Nutella tastes a bit like Ferrero Rocher because they're both Ferrero.
So they couldn't go a Cadbury's Rocher.
They'd have an absolute hornet's nest on their hands. They could. It'd be one of the biggest shots fired in the confectionery world. You're like Ferrero bringing out a curly whirly and going, you didn't invent the notion of curling and whirling. It'd be big. It'd be big news. Yeah, and it would delight us. We'd certainly, we heard of
it. We would follow it.
There's half a year taken care of. Once Jack's finished doorstopping Mars, we get him to start doorstopping Cadbury and Ferrero. I was going to say, and I will get the ad for us next week if we can still be bothered, because I offered him, we had some Ferrero Rochers at Mum's house. We're all staying at Mum's. And he said, in sort of like quite a posh accent, "Oh, you spoil me, Ambassador." What?
Because he had the Rocher.
Yeah. Rocher, and I go, "What's that about?" He goes, "You know the ad." He goes, "I can't have a Ferrero Rocher without saying, 'Oh, you spoil me, Ambassador.'"
I don't know the ad.
And he found the ad. We found the ad on YouTube and he bought it up. And I vaguely remember we would be talking like early 90s. That was in Britain, it was a very famous ad. And I reckon it did make it out here because it rings a bell, but not to the immediate recall that he had.
Yeah.
But the concept, because remember Rochers were sold in as like the luxurious chocolate.
Oh, yeah,
I think because they were gold, we didn't question it. We were like,
Mum and Dad may have them at an important dinner party. And if we looked at them, they'd be like, what are you doing? Don't even think about it. Yeah, get away from the Rochers.
Absolute Rolls Royce of chocolate.
Yeah.
And that was cleverly done to us by the marketing geniuses at Ferrero. A, because it's gold and it just had that air. But then you look at this ad and that's what they've gone for too. The concept for the ad is it's a function at the ambassador's residence.
Oh.
This black tie, man. Everyone's swanning around. So not only has it been, it seems like it's like the, you know, it looks like an embassy in London. Like not only does it seem to be a bit of a hit, but a sort of a butler comes past with the pyramid, the pyramid of Rochers.
So it's a room full of people that already are used to nice things.
Obviously, you know, laid on, you would have assumed everyone's been driven there in a chauffeured Bentley. Hard crowd to impress.
Yes.
Butler comes through with the old pyramid of Ferrero Rochers.
Wow.
It does the job.
Mm-hmm.
Lady, I think it's a lady, takes one off the top and looks at the ambassador, who's sort of a Pierce Brosnan type character.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, you spoil us, Ambassador."
That makes sense for me as well, because
and he nods.
Yes, I am.
It's like kind of like, don't get used to it, but kick your heels up tonight.
Christian O'Connell, who I do the breakfast show with here on Gold, he's English, obviously. He uses that as a punchline sometimes, and I thought it was just always a fun thing he made up. So sometimes just in the show, he'll be like, oh, you spoil me, Ambassador, for something posh. And I just thought that was something he made up.
It's from the Rochera.
That's amazing. Amazing. Hey, one other quick one, just before you go to your big, your major one, because I know you're on the floor. Sometimes you're eating too fast and you go, oh, this is peanut M&M's, obviously, is my crutch. I can't start them without finishing the whole thing. Beck now has a system where she rations them to me.
No, you'll just, you know, if you know where the rest are, you'll get them.
Exactly. I'm plowing through them. Could this ever happen? This is just for one for ongoing. I'll throw the question out there.
Yeah.
Threw one up, landed in my mouth, crunched down, swear it was a sultana.
But you ate it too fast to really know.
Yeah, I went.
Your mouth would be in overdrive.
What is that?
Could it be a sultana?
To my knowledge, there is no sultana M&M's.
No, yeah, they wouldn't be on the same machine.
Just wondering, could it happen?
Maybe if you're at the M&M factory, if we're all working there, I go, and we're looking at like the vat that's like, you know, there's like, you know, tons of roasted peanuts flying into the machine. I go, hey, boys.
Wouldn't it be funny?
Just show you quietly a sultana. Like, with my back to the security cameras, and just ping, just flip it onto the conveyor belt. Yep. Maybe that could happen. You'd like to think not.
Yep.
But that could have been what happened. Or you can get a dud peanut.
I've had that. Like, I know
a weak
that.
Weak peanut. I know that.
I know that. This was sultana. It was a sultana. I just was like, can that have happened?
Sugary tang of a sultana.
Yes. Bizarre, and I only had a single. It was the one M&M in my mouth at the time.
And they're definitely not doing like a Willy Wonka's golden ticket type thing where you get the sultana and you've won a prize.
Well, I hope not, because it's hard to.
It's hard to know. It's more of an honest. It's an honesty system, or a fecal sifting system, both of which aren't as attractive.
Both of which the marketing team would have been going, "Damn it, we should never have done this."
Yeah, you just got the report back from legals, guys. There are a few holes in the sultana, golden sultana idea.
Hopefully someone comes in. If someone has worked it deep inside M&M.
Because I'm just going to say, I don't remember ever seeing a fruit and nut mix. There is not a rum and raisin. There's not a...
No. But it's the next logical
why
step.
Would you? We all
it?
Know that chocolate-coated peanuts are about 900 times better than a chocolate sultana.
Yeah.
As we've discussed on the show before, it's just a waste of a time coating a sultana. Yet people continue to, but you wouldn't have thought M&M would.
No.
Because they know the game and they know what people like.
Yep.
Sorry, I know we are meant to move on. That does remind me, though. When we were away over the break, went on a family bike ride with the kids. Mm. Just while we're talking about M&Ms, and this is evidence of how little people like sultanas. One of the things when we do Blake's on Bikes, our family bike ride, is that the kids make their own scroggin or trail mix, right?
So it involves they'd be heavy on the chocolate, I'd imagine.
Well, we do the thing where we go to the supermarket and they can pick a few of the things to go in. Yeah. And it's just all like, you know, lolly Coke bottles and M&Ms and stuff. And me and Zoe are like trying to like jam banana chips and sultans, which aren't even that healthy, but something that's not an M&M in there. We were out on the trail day one. We stop at a little hut, scrog stop. And I'm saying to my daughter, hey, honey, come on. Can't just have the lollies. Like the idea of Scroggins, you take a handful and there's a selection. And you're just picking out the lollies. I was like, have some nuts. She goes, I don't want any nuts, because we've jammed like almonds and cashews and like peanuts and stuff in there. She goes, I don't want any nuts. Yeah, but you have to have a mix of everything, otherwise it's just candy. She goes, all right. She goes, I'll have a peanut M&M. And this is how, like, beaten down I am as a negotiator with Rue. Because I was like, have some nuts. She's like, I'm not having any nuts. I was like, please, something. Have a banana chip. Don't like them. Okay. Have a pretzel. I think I had one before. Okay. She goes, oh, I have a peanut and M&M. Okay. Puts the peanut M&M in her mouth, chews it and goes, sorry, Dad. It was a crispy.
Appreciate her honesty.
Oh, well.
Appreciate
we tried. We nearly ate a nut. Got very close. We got close to a trace amount of
what would a crispy
nutrition.
Be made of? Is there a
puff rice?
Puff rice.
I mean, it's not. There's no nutritional real difference. It was just theoretically, it would have been nice to know she had one nut that day. Anyway, we do have to play this. This got sent in a couple of weeks ago. It definitely falls under chocolate investigations, right. Quickly. Jack, you obviously have a stance on the show against Toblerone. Too sharp, too tough, no need.
Yeah, I mean, they can sell them all they want and people can buy them, but personally, I don't like to bite into
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. It's like people that, yeah, that aren't interested in skydiving or climbing Mount Everest. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying we shut the activity down.
Yep.
You won't find someone with my risk appetite partaking in that activity.
Yep. Does Jack think people should need a license to eat one? I don't think we have to go that far. I think people
will
can.
That be a
there
big
should be some kind of rule, though, giving them to kids, I think.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of a recut of the Rocher ad where it's, oh, Ambassador, you spoilers. Get down, he's got a Toblerone. And it all goes to hell as terrorists burst in holding Toblerones. And everyone just puts their hands up. The ambassador's kidnapped by a couple of people wielding the 360-gram Toblerone, the biggest and sharpest. That's not what I want to talk about. We had a listener of the show. Mm. Yet again, though, Jack, perhaps you're a bit of a trailblazer here. Because how's this? We get an email in from this guy, Joe, well, actually his family, going, hey, our brother has had a mishap with a Toblerone. He's had an injury. And I was like, right, would you like to come on the show and talk about it? Then Carly, producer Carly, goes, oh, look, he's actually traveling at the moment. He's overseas. The times don't line up. Yeah, okay, right.
She'd be passionate about it, though, because I think you find Toblerones.
Carl's is in, yeah, I think dangerous. She's in Jack's camp.
A bit worried, yeah, worrying, yeah.
So they're traveling at the moment. I think they're in South Africa. So I'm like, yeah, we don't want to, it's like, it'll be like 2 a.m. All right, well, we're interested in the story, but obviously not to the point we have to ruin one of your days on holiday by waking up in the middle of the night to talk to us for 10 seconds. I go, could Joe do a 15-second video just explaining the injury and maybe just telling us what happened? I think we'd all like to hear about it. I don't know if Carly expressly said 15 seconds to Joe, because when Joe wants that.
She's shaking her head. I think
she said do a short
video.
Just do us a quick summary. So already there's a bit of lost in translation. By the time it came back, it was nearly 3 minutes long. Joe's like deposition. I've listened to it. Very funny. I'm aware we've talked about the Ferrero Rocher ad for about an hour, so I'm not claiming we're time poor, but. It also becomes apparent, you'll hear at the start, he's had a few beers when he's made the video, because that's why he sent in such a whopper. So instead of playing the full thing, I've just gone through with Darcy and just sped up the bits that aren't, they're funny, but we didn't need them for the story.
Okay.
I've tried to create a condensed down version here of Joe's story.
Hello, very sorry, almost forgot to send this. We are holiday in South Africa and I have had about 8 beers. Okay. At the airport, we bought 2 large bars of Toblerone, 1 white chocolate, 1 milk chocolate. And normally at home, we put like chocolate buttons or something in the fridge to have after dinner. And so I was like, let's put the chocolate in the fridge. A bit into a piece of white chocolate Toblerone, and my tooth completely cracked in two. It was full on pain, and the next day I went and booked myself immediately in the morning for emergency tooth extraction surgery. And it was $800. Probably never eat Toblerone again. Okay, goodbye.
Wow, and I'm not surprised.
Another cautionary tale.
What a saga, Jacko. Yeah. I mean, look, it's and he,
because that's the thing. They're pointy, and I didn't say this last time, but they're so dense. Like, you compare that to a Ferrero Rocher, soft entry into a chocolate.
You're more likely to crack your tooth on your own tooth as on the other side of your mouth.
With a Ferrero,
or the hazelnut, which is maybe why they take some out, and maybe. Maybe there's a special edition that we haven't noticed, which is denture friendly or.
Yes.
Or softer on mouths or something like that, like, or a trainee Rocher without the density of the nut in the middle. Mm. Oh boy. Either way, yes, you spoil us. You spoil us. Ambassador. Ando.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something that I think is a juicy juicy prize for a listener of the podcast. Now,
we don't normally do that.
Well, we have given away some great stuff in the past, the Incinerator.
That's right. Toilet.
Please don't compare them. Okay. Because I think there was a marked difference in the demand for the Incinerator versus the toilet.
That's true.
Obviously, your tooth was a hit. Yeah. There's a certain threshold you have to meet in terms of like interest and public desire.
Yep.
Here's what I've got. And there's a reason that it's now surplus to demand.
Sticks.
Sticksmas.
We did Sticksmas.
Sticksmas. Mate, Sticksmas was a far bigger. That had a lot more cut through than I think we gave it credit for at the time. I still get people referencing Sticksmas because there is something great about
a good
good bundle of nice sticks. Mm. Anyway, it's not Sticksmas. Sticksmas has only occurred once on the show.
Well, yeah, it's fine on about a Sticks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are. I probably. If we ever get super low on content this year, I could rummage you out of the bush for another batch of good sticks.
True.
I think we're okay. I think we're okay. At this age.
Yeah.
So just before Christmas, the other holiday, last year, Zoe and I had a Vegas theme party at our house.
Yes.
You were sadly unable to make it. Mm. Jack.
Because you forgot to tell me about it.
You got sent two emails.
Yeah. Neither of them came.
So you
Did
say.
Did you hear that, Jack? That's what happened.
I mean, I feel like I'm hearing both sides of the story.
Well,
Hamish said you got the emails. You said you didn't get the emails.
Zoe sent screenshots of the sent emails to Andy.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I got them. You got to send a screenshot of them in my email inbox.
We don't know what happened.
Hamish goes to me, anyway, what are you wearing this weekend? I'm like, what are you talking about?
And he was like, I was like, oh, I guess we've just never talked about it. But yeah, are you coming to the party? And he's like, no, I'm busy. I was like, oh, okay. Well, and then I told her, I was like, email Andy? I thought you were sending out the invite. She's like, then Zoe was like, nah, this hasn't happened on my watch. And was like, here is email evidence. I've sent it out. Anyway, so sadly, yeah, you were in Melbourne. This was in Sydney. Jack, you did get the invite and it made it into the calendar. You came in a wonderful outfit.
Mm. Thank you.
That was
a little bit tight around the crotch. Oh,
yeah, that was.
Okay. I heard from others at the party.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, it's Christmas.
Okay.
That's what it was from a proper costume shop. So that's how they dress you. It would be rude to say.
Oh, it sounded like it was Dixmas. Anyway, pressing on.
Wow, congrats on the other SP.
Yes.
Me and Ryan, our buddy, went as Siegfried and Roy, the well-known Vegas magicians from sort of the 90s and 2000s. Now, they had white tigers. That was their whole, and white lions and stuff. They did stuff with big cats. So then another couple of our friends came. That was the idea. They would come as the tigers. So in the lead up to the party, we're trying to sort this outfit out and... So it was Whipper and Tommy coming as the white tigers.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, what do you think we should do? We was like, I will make the tiger outfit out of like a morph suit, like a onesie and put carpet on it, like stick fur and stuff on it.
Yeah.
So, but we need the head. You can't get a, it's hard to make a tiger's head. Yep. So I was like, I'll hunt that down, guys. Don't worry. So I go on one of these sites like Temu or Shein, like these sites that just have everything and it comes from China.
Right.
The party was 3 weeks away. I find... for like about $200 each, two tiger mascot heads, white tiger heads.
Amazing.
This site that sells them in China. I was like, and it's like delivery 9 to 10 days.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, we're well within the window here. Boom. Boys, I've got your tiger heads. The party is approaching, still no sign of the tiger. It's like every day we're like, oh, they've got to be at the post office today. They don't come. Last minute, day before scramble, costume shop, they managed to find tiger heads. Tigers just never showed up.
Yep.
About February 10th,
mm-hmm.
two quite large packages appear on the door, like these massive round packages, huge, like the size of a footstool each, like wrapped up and then stamped. They've been through like every port in the world. It's the tiger heads.
Yes.
They've shown.
Did you know immediately or had you forgotten about it?
Took me a second, yeah, because it was like that party was a month, like over a month ago. So I go and look, I'm like, I think this is the tiger heads.
Mm.
They've finally arrived. I completely forgot about these. So now I've got 6-7 weeks after the party, two white tiger mascot heads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a use for them.
No.
I would be willing to donate them to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, you go, what a special treat for someone to get yes. two white tiger heads. But B, you wanted to go to a good home.
Yeah. Mm.
I think the right way to give these away would be to someone who can explain why they want them mm-hmm. to the tune of Eye of the Tiger. Right? Just the first bit. Like, yeah. don't get too carried away.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing has to be, because I want the tiger, dot, dot, dot.
Okay, okay, cool. Okay, I get you.
And then you get, one chorus.
So one chorus, because I want the tiger, I've got this party coming up, whatever. Yeah. yeah.
I thought you meant the start of it, like that dent. Dun, 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 like, I've got a party coming up.
Dun, that's dun, not really dun. The lyrics, though, is it? Because, I mean you could put the instrumental on, but we'll be listening to that a lot.
Yeah.
So I think just fast forward to
chorus.
To the guts of it, which is the chorus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I want the tiger.
Yeah.
That is what I'm willing to give away.
Would you
and
like
I'll take
it to
the financial hit.
Are we asking them to upload audio?
Here we are.
Okay.
Gee, I'd like wouldn't it be great to have a WhatsApp for that? Just a
so,
simple
upload audio. Will we make our own?
Yeah, so I've just realized what I'm asking here, so it won't be next week.
No, we've got a very easy to use system to upload audio at thehamishandy.com.
Oh my God.
Well, it's going to take 2 years for the coin to come, so maybe it'll take 2 years for the audio to come.
Will we have a dedicated page, or are they just doing it on?
Just attach it. I think it is. I think this is probably a niche market like the tooth.
Okay.
I don't think everyone needs two white tiger heads. Mm-hmm. But if you did, imagine there's a footy club or something out there.
Yeah, well, there could have. There are the Tigers.
That's what I mean. Yeah. The white Tigers. Is anyone ever the white Tigers?
That'd be incredible.
Would you give two different ones away if people only wanted one tiger head?
They come as a pair? Or?
Look, to be honest, it's probably going to be someone else sending them out, so it's no skin off my nose. I would only give away a pair if it was just a labelling issue.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in separate. They are in separate containers.
So two winners.
Well, I'd love to know if you needed both because that was I bought two,
yeah.
So I'd love to give away two.
Yeah.
If I have to, I'll split them. Can split.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.